669 in your pew Bible. So turn to page 669, Lamentations chapter 3, and let's stand together this morning as we read God's Word. We're going to begin reading at verse 19 this morning from Lamentations chapter 3. Let's read God's Word together. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We're continuing this series, and we're going to finish this up probably in the next 2 weeks. But Jeremiah is writing this lament, this book of Lamentations, as he is observing the results of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army. And so he is writing this and sharing with us what he is seeing, the terror that has been unleashed upon them. And I know I've mentioned this to you several times, but I want to take just a moment, and I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 25, how the writer of 2 Kings tells this story that Jeremiah is relating to us. So Zedekiah, who was the king of Judah, rebelled against the king of Babylon. And in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came with all his army against Jerusalem and laid siege to it. They built siege works against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine became so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then a breach was made in the city wall. The king, with all the soldiers, fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls by the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were all around the city. They went in the direction of Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered, deserting him. Then they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, who passed sentence on him. And here's the sentence. They slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and then they put out the eyes of Zedekiah. They bound him in fetters and took him to Babylon. In the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every great house he burned down. All the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried into exile the rest of the people who were left in the city and the deserters who had defected to the king of Babylon, all the rest of the population. But the captain of the guard left some of the poorest people of the land to be vine dressers and tillers of the soil. So here we read of the cruelty and the barbarity of the king of Babylon. When he captures the king of Judah, he brings before him all of his sons and slays them before his eyes. And then they take something, we don't know what it was, but somehow they put out the eyes of Zedekiah. They blinded him. So the last thing he saw was the slaughter of his children. They showed no mercy. They were callous, they were cold-hearted, they were ruthless. They wanted to send a message not only to the people of Judah, but to the surrounding nations nearby. And the message was this: do not rebel against Babylon. Do not fight us. Do not try to bring your armies against us, because we will slaughter your armies and we will slaughter your people and we will destroy your cities and we will unleash upon you barbaric acts that are so inhumane that they really overwhelm the imagination. And yet Jeremiah, after seeing all of this, after watching all of this occur to his people, to the temple of his God, to the city he loved, to his king whom he served, after seeing all of that, Jeremiah said this: "The mercies of the Lord never end. They are new every morning." Jeremiah chose to rejoice in the midst of the ruins. And in the midst of seeing all the unmercifulness of mankind, he said, "The mercies of God never come to an end, but they are new every morning." That word that Jeremiah used for mercy is translated from the Hebrew, and it means to love deeply, to have mercy, to be compassionate, to have tender affection, to have compassion. It actually comes from a word describing the love of a mother for the child still in her womb. It's where the Greek comes from that Paul mentions about the bowels of mercy. It is a mercy that is felt inside you. It is a mercy that is not just, "Oh, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for someone who looks like that. I feel sorry for the pastor this morning that's got all these things popping out on his face because he went to see the dermatologist. I really feel sorry for him." So now you know where they're from. They're not contagious. But mercy is not just feeling sorry. Mercy, the mercy that Jeremiah is describing, is something that is within. It is a mercy that just comes up within you. You can feel it inside of you. The scripture talks about the mercy of God. The 103rd Psalm, verse 17, David said, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's mercy is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness unto their children's children." The 108th Psalm, the 4th verse, "Great is your mercy, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Micah chapter 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy." Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and said this, speaking of God, "He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because He had mercy." The mercy of God. The mercies of God that never come to an end. Jeremiah was telling us that you cannot extinguish the mercy of God. You cannot outrun the mercy of God. You cannot outsin the mercy of God. You cannot out-transgression the mercy of God. There is nothing you could ever do. There's no thought you could ever have. There's no act you could ever be part of that would be beyond the mercy of God. There's nothing you're going through or have gone through or that faces you in the future that is beyond the mercies of God. There are times in our lives where we feel like, "I've come to the end. I can't go any further. It's overwhelming me. It's too much for me to bear. It's too much for me to take." And yet the mercy of God is right there in the midst of that. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sorrow, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the question, in the midst of the wonder, in the midst of the anger, the mercy of God is there. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Luke chapter 1, verse 50, the angel is talking to Mary regarding the coming of Christ, this birth of the baby Jesus. And the message puts it this way: His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe of Him. The mercy of God is like the ocean waves. It just comes wave after wave after wave after wave. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, as Paul is introducing this letter that he's writing, he says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of consolation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The mercy of God is beyond comprehension. It is beyond measurement. You and I are here as sons and daughters of God, not because of what we did, not because of our works of righteousness, but simply because God had mercy. God had mercy. And I love the fact that God's mercy is not like an ointment contained in a bottle, that eventually, as He keeps pouring it out and pouring it out, eventually it's going to come to an end. No, the mercies of God, the writer of Lamentation said, that the mercy of God is everlasting. It never runs out. It's never extinguished. And then he said this about the mercy of God. He said, first of all, God's mercy can never come to an end. But then he said this: God's mercy is new every morning. When you woke up this morning, God had a full day's supply of mercy already waiting on you. When you wake up tomorrow morning, God will have a full all-day supply of His mercy ready for you. It is new every morning. You know, when I was, I must have been about 11 years old, I guess, and I can remember my mom, for some reason, you know, we always had milk, but for some reason, there was a glass of orange juice at the table that morning, and I drank it. I told Mom, I said, I love orange juice. I could drink it every day. From that day on, until the day that I moved away from home, when I woke up every morning, sitting on the nightstand by my bed, was a glass of orange juice. It was new every morning. Now, there are others here who cannot say that. I can't help that there was a glass of buttermilk by her bed every morning, but I had orange juice because I was the baby. Honey, I had orange juice by my bed every morning when I woke up. It was new every morning. That is the mercies of God. When you wake up tomorrow morning, if Jesus tarries another day and your eyes open in the morning, you can say, God, I want to thank You that Your mercies today for me are new. They're new for me today. Now, you know, today's Valentine's Day, and so we're thinking about love. And so let's say that you're married and your spouse loves coffee. And you woke up this morning and you said, you know what I'm going to do for my husband or my wife? I'm going to get them a cup of coffee. And so you go and you bring them a cup of coffee, and it's hot and it's got half and half in it just right. And you bring it to them and you give it to them and you said, honey, here's a cup of coffee. And so that person that you're bringing to says, well, where'd you get this coffee from? I didn't hear the coffee maker turn on. Oh, honey, this was some coffee that was left in the pot from yesterday. I just heated it up because, after all, coffee is coffee. It doesn't matter that it's sat out all day long and all night long. And honey, if you see something floating in that coffee, it's just a bug that drowned in it. And just think of it as hot protein. You would say, no, thank you. I like my coffee fresh. I want a fresh cup of coffee. God's mercy is new every morning. It's fresh. It's alive. It's waiting on you. It's not yesterday's mercy. It's not last week's mercy. It's not the mercy He showed you when you said, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Save me. Oh, no. He has mercy for you today. And when you wake up tomorrow, He'll have new mercies for you there. There is no leftover mercy in the pantries of God. It is new every morning. It's new mercy, new forgiveness, new peace, new joy, new favor, new kindness, new strength, new vision, new faith, new power. It's new every morning. I remember the story, and I may mispronounce this because I didn't take French in high school. I took Spanish. But it was the story by Victor Hugo, and I believe you'd pronounce it Les Miserables. It's the story of Jean Valjean, who is sentenced to prison because he broke the window of a bakery and stole a loaf of bread to take home to his starving family. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison. He attempted to escape 4 different times, and so his sentence was always expanded until finally he served a 19-year sentence for stealing a loaf of bread. He gets out from prison. He is returning home, and on a cold, rainy night, he stops at a church and asks if he can spend the night, and the bishop, who is Bishop Bienvenu, allows him to come in. Early in the morning, while everyone else is asleep, he goes and he gathers up the silver, and he steals the silver. He puts it in a bag and he takes it with him because he has no money and he has no income and he knows he will not be able to have a job, and he's looking for some way, some means that he can take care of his family who has been without for 19 years. He leaves with that bag of stolen silver. He's captured by the police. They bring him back to the church. And when the door opens and the bishop is standing there, and they say, they have Jean Valjean come in, and he pours out that bag of all the silver that he has stolen from the church. And there the priest looks at it, and the priest realizes that I can do one of two things. I can pass judgment, or I can show mercy. And he says to this man who has been caught in the act of stealing from the church, he says to him, I'm so glad you came back because you forgot the silverware. And you begin to gather the forks and the knives and everything up in another bag to give to the man. The mercy of God is that no matter what you've done, and no matter what you're going through today, and no matter what faces you down the road, God's mercy has already gone ahead of you. And God's mercy has already gone down that road. And God's mercy is 1 year down the road waiting for you to get there. And when you get there, it won't be old mercy. It'll be new. Because the mercy of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So today, on this morning, let us rejoice that we are the recipients and the benefactors, not only today, but we will be tomorrow and every tomorrow that our lives hold, of the wonderful, precious, new mercies of God. Lord, today, your mercies are new every morning. Jeremiah, sitting in the ruins of what once was a beautiful city, what once was a bustling, prosperous city, filled with people, filled with children, filled with people who were planning to get married and planning to have a family, and filled with the sounds of children running through the streets and families gathering together at night for a meal. That city is now destroyed. That city is now eerily quiet. There is no rejoicing. There is no laughter. And yet, in the midst of that, Jeremiah says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And I pray today, Father, that we would, not only on this morning, but in every morning that lies ahead of us, when we wake up, may we look at our nightstand and say, "The mercies of the Lord are new every morning." I pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Just before Ken